Hi, I'm Carla Wainwright.
And I'm Little Leah.
And welcome to the Radical Sex Witches podcast, where we explore the themes of sexuality, feminism, consciousness, love, healing, ritual, magic, and all things witchy and wonderful.
Hello, all you wicked women, and welcome back to the Radical Sex Witches. We have returned from a short hiatus. As always, I'm Little Leah, and here with me is Cunty Carla. If this is the first time you've listened to our show, we do like each other and get along.
Very much so.
Yeah, so we've had time off. We just had to, you know, take little life detours. There's still a lot of snow in Prince George. We had none. Remember, I think probably the last time we recorded, it was like we were well on our way to spring. Well, that has changed.
Yes. It definitely has.
Like, but you know what? Motherfuckers.
It's on the wrong, it's versus around the corner. Like when you get to this point in the year, it's just weeks, days.
Oh, I know. And it's already, I've noticed in like the last couple of days, I'm like, oh my God, it's light at 7 o'clock in the morning when you wake up.
Well, even before that.
Yes. Yeah,
and then also in the evening. I mean, all of you who live closer, much closer to the equator than we do, like up in the north, it's so noticeable.
Yeah. But I love it in the summer and it's like 4 a.m. and the sun's out. Yep. That's the time my brain's up at. That's my favorite. And then also too, when it's so late, it's like you can see like it's still lightish at around 10:30. I absolutely love that. That's my favorite time of day in the summer is like everything's quiet in the neighborhood. Nice like temperature outside. And yeah, I love that. That's my favorite. Aw, summer dreaming, you know?
I know. 4 more months. We'll be there.
4 more. I think at the rate we're going, it's going to be 2 again. But anyways, you know what? We have brought back to you another Bad Babe of History feature. And today we're sharing a tale filled with espionage, intrigue, and mind control experiments in the 1940s. This is the story of Candy Jones, who is at one time a sought-after model and radio personality, but who later claimed that she might have been a victim of mind control experimentation by the CIA. This sounds really batshit, Carla. You found her. You've been wanting to talk about her for a while, so why don't you kick things off?
Well, it is and it isn't, but we'll get to that when we share more of the story. So let's start at the beginning. So Candy Jones was born as Jessica Arlene Wilcox, December 31st, 1925, in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And just a side note, I used to summer holiday right beside Atlantic City as a kid all the time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So despite little Candy being raised by a wealthy family, her childhood was said to be something of a nightmare. So her parents physically abused her. There's one instance where she recounted that her father on a home visit crushed her fingers in a nutmeg grater.
Oh.
Yeah. And her manic depressive mother beat her on her legs so badly that she had to wear thick stockings to conceal the welts. And her mother often locked her in dark rooms and didn't allow her to bring her friends home from school. And so the reason sharing this is because it actually becomes more important later on in the story. But while she was locked in these rooms, little Candy developed a fictional family to keep her company and help her through her lonely days. And she visualized her friends to keep her company. And all the people of this imaginary world faded away after her childhood, except for one, Arlene, which was this imaginary friend named to help her through lonely experiences. And Arlene's personality was the exact opposite of Candy's and had some of her mother's properties. So Arlene could be brutal, cruel, and sarcastic, and she was very domineering. And she had a low grading voice that was always trying to run things. And like I said, this becomes later important later in the story.
I haven't read ahead except for the parts that I have to read so I don't flub them. But to me, I'm just going to, and you don't have to answer me. I'm going to go out on a limb. This might be a bit more than just an imaginary friend. We'll find out, obviously.
We'll find out. It's just kind of a heartbreaking start to life.
No kidding. That's horrible. And sorry, I wouldn't want to bring my friends home if that's what I was being subjected to.
No.
Yeah. So we're going to time travel a little bit into Candy's teen years, where she actually began modeling and was discovered by a talent scout. She had long blonde hair, she also had what was considered perfect features and a towering height. Jesus. She was 6'4". That's an Amazon right there.
That's tall.
That's Amazonian power. So yeah, all of this obviously helped her to become a successful model. And it was at that time she changed her name to Candy Jones. And in the 40s and 50s, she was a famous model and one of the leading pinup girls. And her face graced the covers of 11 major national magazines in a single month in 1943. That's a pretty big deal. She also began her journey into the world of radio broadcasting during the 40s, a time when the medium was rapidly expanding its reach and influence across the United States. And her early radio career saw her hosting a variety of programs, ranging from music shows to talk shows, where she interviewed celebrities and covered topics of interest for her audience. And she was considered warm and relatable, and this really endeared her listeners. And she had a very large and loyal following. And I mean, I guess she didn't have a face for radio, so that probably also helped.
Yes, but she wasn't just a pretty face. Like, she was, you know, she had a huge variety of different kinds of radio programs that she did. She seemed to be, you know, multi-talented in a variety of different arenas. So, yeah. So Candy's life at that time was pretty great. And then this significant event happened to her. So it was common for models and entertainers to tour military bases within the United Service Organizations, so the USO. And on a trip in 1945 into the Pacific, Candy became ill with what I read here was undulant fever. I don't know what that is, and malaria, but that doesn't sound fun. And she was put in a special hospital in the Philippines. And so it's here that she met a man who told her that his name was Dr. Gilbert Jensen. And he claimed to be a young medical officer, but in reality, he was Dr. William S. Kroger, who was a psychologist at UCLA.
Catfish.
Dr. Jensen offered Candy hypnotherapy sessions to help her address her health issues. And it's not actually clear how long this lasted, but he did treat her for some time. So she returned back to her life in the US and, you know, seemingly recovered from her illnesses when she was on that tour. And she married fashion czar Harry Conover, who was the creator of the, quote, CoverGirl concept and one of the first model agents. They had three sons, and she continued modeling and opening her model school next to her husband's office. And she also began appearing regularly on NBC's weekend radio news program, Monitor. She published books about glamour and fashion and her experiences touring for the USO during World War II. But side note, her marriage was an happy one, and it eventually fell apart because Conover was, in fact, gay.
And shocker for being a fashion mogul, but yeah, I really hope that we're going to find out why Dr. Jensen is actually Dr. Kroger. What the fuck? Giving away the spoiler a little bit early here, Carla. I have all these questions, which maybe we're going to find out in my next segment that I read here. It's not that I don't like to prepare you guys. It's just that I like to be authentic when we record.
It's true. Yeah. You do a great job.
Questionable. But in the 1960s, Candy's career took a turn where she secured a position at NBC Radio, which gave her a steady income that allowed her to enroll her sons in prestigious boarding schools. Her role at the radio station also brought her into contact with many kinds of people spanning the realms of entertainment, politics, and the military. And many of these connections were established during her earlier experiences when she toured with the USO. During this period, an unexpected request came from an old acquaintance, a retired Army general whom Candy had known for her time in the South Pacific. And in a casual conversation at her modeling agency, the general asked Candy if she would be willing to allow the FBI to use her office as a mail drop location. No big deal, hey? So viewing it as a simple act of patriotism, Candy agreed to assist to handle the mail for the FBI while traveling for business.
Yeah.
I think that if the FBI came to me for anything, But I probably back then, though, it was seen, they're still like prestigious and, you know,
that's
know a lot of the things that we know today that they have messed with in history.
Absolutely. So she probably thought it was her patriotic duty. You know, she's being approached. And then, you know, what happens if you say no?
They're going to make you do it anyways, but it's going to be under less friendly circumstances would be my guess.
Yes, perhaps.
So shortly after, she found herself in the company of another familiar face. We're going to bring back in the, you know, catfish, Dr. Jensen. He was in the midst of establishing and overseeing a covert unit of agents for the CIA, employing mind control experiments as a means of recruitment. And we should say that from this point, this is where Candy's account of her life upon meeting Dr. Jensen again. What?
Maybe I didn't write that. So like this is her account of what happened. So, yes, you know, this is not, you know, nobody else's account. This is what she says happened from this point in the story.
Okay. So Dr. Jensen identified Candy as the ideal candidate for their clandestine operations. Her celebrity status, unwavering patriotism, single status, frequent business travels, and financial needs made her a prime target. Okay. Moreover, she was susceptible to hypnosis. It made her a really like valuable asset.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to end too well.
Okay.
What a creep, man. Like he already knows her ins and outs from their previous relationship when she was sick. Well, oh, you're perfect for this, Candy. Let me tell you why.
Listen, I am not in any way claiming to understand the insides of these types of operations of the three-letter agencies. However, I imagine that they do their homework and they prepare and are scouting.
Mm-hmm.
They take time to create or do whatever they're going to do. Okay, so according to her, Dr. Jensen became her control agent. And while he submitted Candy to hypnosis, he used hypnotic techniques and intravenous injections of highly experimental drugs. And when he was doing that, he found Arlene and developed her. So remember, go back the story where Arlene was her imaginary friend who was really cruel and awful that she, you know, experienced time with in when she was locked in a room.
Oh, Lordy.
So Arlene comes out again. So he succeeded in bringing Arlene forward in Candy's mind so that she could take Candy over almost completely and then send her on various experimental missions at home and abroad. And so this way he created a perfect messenger, one who could not reveal, even under torture, anything about the mission.
Wow.
So according to Donald Bain's book, which is called The Control of Candy Jones, Arlene underwent extensive training in a wide variety of covert skills. So she was schooled in the handling of explosives, mastering the intricacies of volatile materials. She received training in close quarters combat, utilizing improvised weaponry, such as a hat pin with deadly precision.
Ooh, we got a femme fatale on our hands here. She was also instructed in the art of disguise and effective communication techniques, essential skills for maintaining her covert identity. She was taught methods to kill adversaries with her bare hands. Well, yeah, 6'4", you're going to fucking snap a neck. No problem. As well as techniques to resist pain and endure interrogation tactics. And throughout her clandestine missions, Arlene visited numerous training camps, military installations, and secret medical facilities across the United States. Bain also wrote that Candy Jones inadvertently retained a passport belonging to Arlene Grant, featuring a photo of Candy donning a dark wig and makeup. And Candy had no recollection of posing for the passport photo. Arlene also carried a lipstick laced with poison intended for use as a last resort to evade capture. That's fucked. What if Candy found that lipstick? How did Candy know that that was like, did
I know lipstick?
I have questions. Oh my God. And perhaps one of the most shocking and revolting, revelations detailed in Bain's book is an incident in which Dr. Jensen apparently demonstrated Arlene's conditioning in front of a full auditorium at CIA headquarters. Allegedly, Dr. Jensen inserted a lit candle into Candy's vagina without her registering pain or fear, showcasing the extent of his control over her altered state. I bet you they were lining up to blow out that birthday candle. That's fucked.
Super fucked. Like on so many levels. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, because she was so abused and stuff as a child, that, like, you know, like, there were all of these criteria, like you were saying, of them scouting, right? And, like, he learned that early on about her, that she would be easily to manipulate or hypnotize or sway, right? Like, I do believe people can be hypnotized. I don't know about you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he did, you know, apparently when she was recovering in the Philippines from those illnesses, he used hypnotherapy. And yeah. So that was, you know, okay. So yes, you know, this person can.
This one, we can mold her.
Exactly. Exactly. So in 1972, Candy married again, a fellow named Long John Neville, and he was a popular radio show host. And Neville was the first person who actually began to notice her strange behavior. So one moment his wife was like the most lovable, sociable, and charming woman. And then the next moment she would become vicious and cruel. And one night she even attempted to strangle him in a military style manner.
Oh my God.
That would be terrifying. And Candy never had a recollection regarding these violent outbursts once she came back to her senses. And what made Neville even more suspicious about her unpredictable behavior was that his wife would often travel claiming that she worked for the U.S. government. That would raise a few red flags. So initially, he was convinced that she was cheating on him. So Neville suggested to help Jones treat her chronic insomnia through hypnosis in the hopes that he was going to find out what was happening on those secret trips and find out, you know, whether she was, in fact, you know, not being faithful. But instead of uncovering another man, what happened is they discovered his wife's alter ego. So an extremely hostile woman named Arlene. So during hypnosis, Jones described a lengthy, complex story as a trainee in the CIA mind control program. And she talked about her trips to locations and places as far away as Taiwan. And while hypnotized, Jones claimed that she was subjected to painful torture to test the effectiveness of her alternative personality.
That's fucking wild. Yeah. So he just like found, like, he's like, hey, let's go bring you to like hypnosis, like just on the fly, having no idea that this was. And of course, Arlene is going to come out because that's how she normally comes out. This is fucked up. How come we didn't have a movie about this yet, about her specifically?
I know. It's actually kind of incredible that
I know there's things like Red Sparrow and there's all those female spy movies and shit, but like specifically about Candy.
Did you ever watch The Manchurian Candidate?
Oh, probably a million years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's also sort of like a mind control CIA through hypnosis to, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway, it's a good movie. It's an old movie, but good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so also I'm curious, is hypnosis seemed to be a big thing here in the.
It was like, hey, it was the seances of the 70s. Instead of bringing out the Ouija board, we're going to go and get hypnotized.
I guess so. Ravine is a side note.
He's coming to Prince George.
Oh, he's been here a few times.
He has?
Yeah, I think so. I saw Ravine years and years ago in Montreal, and it was, I have to say, it was very entertaining.
In high school, I got hypnotized and I really hated it. It was in front of the entire school at like a evening get together. And everyone said I was faking because I wasn't under as far as other people. And I remember everything, but I also remember, like, even though I knew what was going on around me, when I was told to do something, I couldn't stop myself. I had to do it.
That's terrifying.
See? And then, yeah, all my friends were just like, you were faking. And I remember just crying at the end of it and thinking it was really fucking horrible that all of you fucking cunt faces are saying I faked this. Like, some people were just like,
maybe CSIS was doing recruitment at your high school.
They're like, ah, she's only semi-controllable.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, CSIS is our kind of lame Canadian equivalent of the CIA.
Sorry, CSIS, don't come get us. If you're listening, we know you're listening right now through our cell phones, through the fillings in our teeth.
That's right. Don't get me started. Okay.
Okay, so Neville actually broadcast the audio tapes of his radio show. He put it on his radio show, and many people thought this was a hoax. Yeah, no kidding. And several psychiatrists claim that Jones suffered from alleged false memory syndrome. Of course they did. So Candy became increasingly fearful of surveillance and monitoring after going public. She believed that she was being followed and closely watched by individuals or organizations intent on silencing her and discrediting her claims. In 1976, she published her autobiography, and her claims regarding her experiences with mind control and covert operations brought intrigue and also skepticism. You can't talk when you've only had one day off in like a month. The nature of Candy's experiences made it difficult for many to fully comprehend or accept the extent of the manipulation and coercion she had endured. But in 1977, Jones's claims obtained more notice and credibility when it was discovered that the CIA had been running extensive mind control tests and experiments under a program named Project MKUltra. Okay, so I have heard of the MKUltra. The project was directed by the Office of Scientific... Oh, sorry. My phone just went out here where I'm reading from. This is real-time recording, ladies.
You get it back?
The project was directed by the Office of Scientific Intelligence of the CIA, coordinated with the U.S. Army Biological Warfare Laboratories. And it was launched in the early 1950s during the Cold War era, and MKUltra encompassed a wide range of experiments involving the use of various methods such as drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, and psychological manipulation. MKUltra operated under a veil of secrecy with a minimal oversight and accountability. And of course, there was no government confirmation of her involvement in this project. So many of the project's records were destroyed in the 70s when there was public outcry over the revelations of unethical experimentation were revealed. None of this shocks me.
Nothing. I mean, that's the thing. So the news comes out and then, oh, I guess we better destroy all the documentation because people are pissed.
No paper trail, no proof.
So nothing, you know, nothing going to be released in 50 years, which is now. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So how does the story end? Well, in the years following the publication of her autobiography, Candy largely retreated from the public eye, really to seek refuge from the scrutiny and speculation surrounding her story. And very sadly, she passed away from cancer on January 18th, 1990, at the age of 64, which is pretty young.
That's pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
Like, she didn't have such a great life.
No, you know, she kind of had this short period where, you know, she was doing between getting out of the hospital in the Philippines and then having her career as a radio host and model being successful, but sort of post that, not so good. Yeah.
But how like, just like killing guys with a hat pin and my poisonous lipstick, like, you know, there's reasons.
Poor leg.
The reason that they write these spy movies and novels, like, they're based on something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's, you know, of course, I don't think we're ever going to know with certainty the truth, because nobody from a government organization is going to confirm her story whatsoever. And of course, we don't really know, but there seems to be a fair amount of.
I fully believe that they did it. Like, look at, you know, like, the FBI is responsible for the crack epidemic in America in the 80s, right? Like, they purposely did that to like neighborhoods of color.
Yep. Totally.
So of course they're going to be doing mind control and fucked up things on other people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really tragic. So,
that's why you don't get a chip from Elon put into your brain, kitties. Like, it takes like two more seconds just to pull and open the cupboard drawer instead of you putting your wrist up there to go, all right, just keep that in mind.
Don't do that.
I know people that want that. And I'm like, why the fuck would you want that? Carla and I were just talking about birth control and like getting the chip in your arm. And I'm like, well, that's not robotic. That's that's as far as chip that I'm going to get. But yeah, me directly into Starlink, I'm good, thanks. Like,
yeah, I'll pass, thanks very much.
Yeah, that's quite the story about poor Candy Jones. I want to go find out more about her for sure, because, I mean, we only got the Cole's notes here on the RSW. But if you have a woman that you'd like us to cover in a future Bad Babes of History, send us your recommendations. We don't know everybody. I mean, we like to pretend that we do, but we don't. So if there's someone you think that we should know about that fits, you know, this series, hit us up. And to keep on the depression train, next time on the Radical Sex Witches, we're going to be talking about reframing rejection.
I was just going to make that sound. But listeners, do not lose hope. I was coming up with some topics for future episodes, and there's some lighter, sexier ones on the way.
We're going to get back to finger banging before you know it.
That's right.
Ooh, I'm little Leah.
And I'm Carla. We are the Radical Sex Witches, and we will see you next time.
Hello, witchy listener. It's Carla here. If you're feeling disconnected from pleasure and unfulfilled in life, reach out to me and let's connect on a free call. I love helping women like you shift to owning your sexual power, reconnecting to your body, and finding your unique radical sex witch within. Go to carlawainwright.com or find my contact info in the show notes. Let's co-create a life for you that is truly turned on.